So now to conclude the conclusion of this after analyzing it, the conclusion is, if you want willpower to increase, there must be first of all what is called self-control. Do not be overpowered by the impulsion of desire to such an extent that you cannot set yourself to work, and steady work, serious work, perfect work. And the moment you have to do this work, you will see that you have to control yourself. You have to concentrate. The greater the steadiness of the work, great labor you put in, the greater the will is developed. The greater the concentration, the greater is the will. The greater the control of desires, the greater the will. At times a labor becomes so easy for you that labor is not felt to be labor. If you become a good athlete, then physically to carry some kilos is no work at all. It's a play. So if you go on laboring, a time will come when labor will not be felt to be labor. A time will come when concentration will not be felt to be concentration. At a minute's call, second's call, you can become concentrated. Otherwise it takes a long time to be concentrated. But if you are very well developed in concentration, then easily you can concentrate. You don't even feel that you are concentrated. You can do 10 things so easily with equal concentration on all the 10 things. You find some good housewives, they do cooking on the one hand, they do sweeping work in the house, they look after the child in the cradle, they give instructions to the servant, they go on examining whether the rice has become ripened or not, well cooked or not, answer a call from the postman, so many things at the same time, and doesn't feel any kind of burden at all. It's a mark that a good willpower has developed in the individual. But when even the biggest works you can do more and more powerfully, see, we had the example of the mother, we saw how the mother was working so much, and we could see her concentrating upon hundreds of things at the same time with equal attention. And her answers were always full of knowledge and spontaneous, on the spot. Like once, one engineer asked the mother, mother was in the sports ground of the ashram, and there was a question of building a swimming pool. And then the engineer said that we need to have some water supply for swimming pool. So he said, mother, you are all knower, knowing. From where can we get the water? He just asked the question to the mother, from where can we get the water? Mother said, the place where I am standing now is full of water. And that space was dug and immediately water was found. So imagine, on the spot, this was the answer of the mother. That is the knowledge. So easy, on the spot. This is a physical answer I gave, but any question you put to the mother, amazing, there was so much light all the time, and she could do anything so easily. That is a mark of a fully developed will. There is no desire at all in it. There is no labor at all in it. There is no concentration at all in it. Everything is automatic, spontaneous, delightful. All right? How does one build confidence in oneself? One does not build confidence by saying, have confidence, have confidence, have confidence. This is what very often people preach. Have confidence. Go forward. Have confidence. This is only preaching. Confidence doesn't merely come by telling somebody, have confidence. Confidence building is a serious work. It requires labor, work. Test yourself. Put yourself into a situation of testing. I go to an examination hall and I am afraid that my spellings are so weak I won't be able to write correctly. I can't tell somebody now, have confidence. The child doesn't know the spellings very well and you say, have confidence. You will write very well. No, this is not the way of building confidence. Before you go to examination hall, prepare yourself well. Take 10 words every day. I told you last time about taking 10 words every day. Make your spellings perfect. Put yourself in test. And know for yourself that yes, you can do it. Now you are right. There can be no mistake at all. That is the right way of building confidence. By labor, by testing yourself and retesting yourself. That is the way of building confidence. You spoke about the powers of the mind, but you did not explain the words medha, buddhi and dhi. What do these words really mean? Are there other powers of the mind? I must tell you, I am very pleased with this question because, in fact, in one of my talks which I had prepared, which I have not given yet, I had written down at length. So you anticipated my paper and you asked me this question. I'll give you a brief answer just now, although I'll keep reserve that full paper later on. I told you that Veda is a mine of knowledge, and psychologically it's a big science of psychology, Veda itself. It has analyzed different layers of the mind. The three words that you are speaking of, first of all, buddhi and dhi, are two interchangeable words, so there is not difference between the two. But medha and buddhi, there is a difference. Medha is the understanding based upon sense experience. Buddhi is understanding without the need to have sense experience. Without the need, it may base itself on sense experience, but it may also have understanding without the need to have sense experience. This is the basic difference between medha and buddhi. What is the color of this flower? So to observe this flower, to be able to name the color, is the activity of medha. I have to open my eyes, I have to smell it, I have to know many colors, out of which I have to distinguish one color from the other and say, this is the color. This is the activity of medha. Does the earth rotate round the sun or the sun rotates round the earth? If this is the question, How will you answer this question? Merely by medha, if you use only medha, you will say that the sun moves around the earth. Isn't it? That is the answer that we give, because we shall see the sun rises here, goes up and then goes down. So the sun is moving around the earth. This is the answer of medha, but not the answer of buddhi. Buddhi will make many experiments. This is the intellectual process, what is called reasoning or pure reason. It may start with observation, but then it compares observations with observations. Ultimately, it finds out that it is earth that is moving around the sun. This was the great Copernican revolution in West. And Copernicus found out that it is not the sun which is moving around the earth, but it is the earth which is moving around the sun. This is the work of intellect. When you compare observations with observations, and while comparing, you derive the consequences from your comparisons, again compare these consequences, apply the laws of reasoning, and then arrive at the conclusion. That is buddhi. Intellect has the power of discrimination in great purity without being overpowered by the senses. Medha can be overpowered by the senses because it depends on the senses. But buddhi has a possibility of rising above the influence of the senses. Buddhi can be free from the spell of the senses. And there are many more powers of the mind. And Veda describes many more powers. In one of the verses which I am going to speak about, he says, Yad jagrato dura mudaiti devam tadu suptasya tathai vaiti duram gamam jyotisham jyotirekam tanme manaha shiva sankalpamastu. It's a great long Sanskrit verse in which the power of the mind is described. It says that the mind can move very far, not only in the state of waking, but also in the state of sleep. This is one of the great powers of the mind. It can move, travel. This is the first important power of the mind. It can travel. The mind can move very far. And then, jyotisham jyoti, it is light of lights, luminously. This is the one simple power of the mind which is given there. I'll tell you many more powers when I come to that particular lecture on the mind. But this is another power which is not either of medha or of buddhi. Mere power of traveling. Even in sleep, you can have dreams without opening your eyes. You see colors in your dreams. How do you do that? Even though your outer ears are closed, you can hear conversations in your dreams. In your dream, you can travel to America in a second. The mind travels fast. Remote childhood experiences you can see in your dreams. You can repeat childhood experiences in your dreams. That is because it has a great light and speed of light. It is said that even mind has got a speed greater than the speed of light. That's why the Veda says, Jyotisham Jyotihi, light of lights. You can imagine how much the Vedic rishis must have traveled in their inner consciousness to be able to say all this definitively. And when you read Sri Aurobindo on the mind, he gives perfect details, complete mapping of the powers of the mind. This was the last question of Shakti, and I think we cannot go further today. We have done only two sets of questions. Suchindran has still not come, no? So it's all right, good. Next time we shall do it when he is present. All right? Thank you.